The start order is 1-7-4-2-3-9-8-5.
The Extra Lap RC Podcast.
Yes, this is the Extra Lap RC Podcast. My name's Aidan Burke, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Martin Owen. How are you doing, Martin?
Very well, yourself?
I'm okay, and we're joined a special guest. Yeah, kind of a special guest, Joey Cockle. How are you doing, Joey?
Hello.
I'm all right, how are you?
I'm awesome, mate. I'm sitting, you know, 12 miles away from Southport. Lovely and sunny. It's been 24 degrees all day. Broke out the shorts in work. Looking forward to see your two beautiful faces on Friday.
Yeah, so it's definitely going to rain then because you've worn shorts to work today.
Yeah, definitely.
You scared the sun.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. But, Martin, someone, who are we going to speak to now?
So this evening, this evening, sounds like I'm drunk. And surely I'm not. This evening, we have the chairman of Torch, an all-round super nice guy, Steve Brown.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Very, very well. Thanks for bringing me onto the show tonight. Really, really glad to catch up with you.
No, it's not a problem, mate. We do actually find sometimes quite difficult to get people to come on a podcast now that you know Joey's back. but as long as we get past that, we'll be all fine. Steve, let's get straight into it, because I think the weekend just gone, there was actually a Mid-South Regional at your track of Torch. Just talk about you. How did you get on?
Yeah, so all planning went to according to plan. So rebuilt the track, relaid it. So the track had a total redesign change. We cleaned it, hoovered it, and generally speaking, set the track up for a great attendance. And we had about 80 odd two-wheel drive and about 20. Forward was about 100 in attendance, which is quite amazing. But myself personally, I didn't really plan to walk into the regional with it raining. We knew that there could be rain overnight, but we felt it was going to finish according to the Met Office about 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. It did. It stopped at 9, and then about an hour later, it just kept on coming down, and it rained basically all day. So that kind of put the cat among the pigeons for everybody, because we had to then think twice, because a lot of people got the impression it was going to be a full-on dry meeting. But this band of weather that come across us, a bit unlucky. But that being said, that I'm pretty good around the Torch in the dry. And I've done a few laps, as you can imagine, over the years and understanding the surface. But the wet weather made it a bit more difficult to understand what I was going to do in terms of what car I was going to use, and you know, your wet car, dry car, and so forth, and ball diff, and all those that were changes you do. But I ended up somehow poling it and winning the final. So I managed a TQ and a win on the circumstances that I thought I wouldn't be able to do it. So my cars were on top form, and I was driving well.
Mate, what a start. What a start to our podcast. Just turned up. TQ'd and won, went home, perfect.
Pretty well, yeah, pretty much. I was delighted, to be fair. A lot of effort in terms of preparation, in terms of the track.
Okay, so we'll start winding back now. So I think you started there. We're talking about the prep that Torch does. Now, we'll put pictures for anyone who hasn't seen Torch, which is it's like near Southampton.
Yeah, it's probably more closer to Portsmouth than Southampton, but it's kind of midway in an area called Swanmore, near Bishop's Wharf, and in turn near Hedge End, which is kind of Southampton where I live. So I live Hedge End anyway.
Like, it's on the south coast. It's in the mid. I always think of a Florida person, someone from Jacksonville listening to this, going, right, there's an island. Torch is right at the bottom. Near enough in France. Quick ferry over the thing and you're in France, aren't you?
Very much so. I think a couple of miles and you're on the beach at Leon Solent, so that's how close you are.
Perfect. So it is a Mid-South regional, you know, the return of regionals we've seen this year, yeah? What kind of prep did you get have to do for Torch? What kind of jobs do you like to do? Or not, and you, and I know it's a big team, and there's Grant, and there's Steve, and other people's names I can't remember. What kind of prep do you like to do before like a big regional meeting's coming up?
Number one is if you don't, for me, create a track and an experience for the driver to enjoy, I think people walk away from a meeting disappointed with what they've enjoyed. So I pride myself in how the track drives and what it looks like and how it feels at the end of the day for the drivers. The driver way actually did they enjoy themselves. So that's probably the number one priority for me. I always make it so we put the right type of track on, bit of slow section, bit of fast, a bit of air, because I like to always have a bit of air at Torch. And again, then surroundings, making sure that, you know, the environment in terms of, you know, the rostrum has been painted recently, the toilets, and then race control. Everything from every single pipe laid out is not missing a bolt, so that there's no repair or maintenance work. And I think on the whole of the day, we had one extra stake put in the track to kind of hold it down, but it was well prepared. And everything from the little bits of Astro and the way they join up to make sure that there's no unnecessary unsettling of the cars, that they can enjoy the rhythm sections, because we put a really tough rhythm section in on a double, and it took a lot of effort to get it right, and particularly because it was wet, the cars had to kind of get the right level of momentum and you know, grip out the corner to get onto it and over it well. It was quite a fun track, to be fair.
Brilliant. So you turn up, everyone's expecting a dry meeting. You've had some rain in the morning, a bit of a break, it's raining. Though most of the pictures I see, a lot of people are wearing shorts. It clearly didn't lash down all day. Or was it lashing down all day and warm?
It lashed down all day. It was nice and fairly warm, but it was only about 5 o'clock, 4:45, it stopped raining, but the track was sodden by that point. And it was good because the drainage was awesome. We put a lot of effort in the track in the previous months where we put a lot of drainage in, so the track was still drivable. There was a couple of puddles we had to sweep off in front of the rostrum where it levels out too much. But no, it was good. It was good.
So, Steve, was that your first regional on the new track?
It was. It was the first competitive meeting officially that I've raced at the club. I didn't race at Dash for Cash last year, but this is the first time. So to get a result there was great. A lot of people said that we kind of picked up Torch from the old venue and we've moved it across. But really, really nice comment from Lloyd Story at the weekend. He said, you know, this is a massive step on from the old track, which was really nice to hear, to be fair, from Lloyd.
Yeah, I found it was a lot more consistent than the old track.
I think that links into the fact we haven't got a farmyard around that's great and lots of dust and dirt and lots of weeds and monsoons of water coming down the hill, so we haven't got any of those issues no more, so it's much, much easier to maintain.
Or a big hole at the end of the straight so you can hit the food van. Gareth Stanton.
Yeah, that's still a memory. It will last forever in my head, for sure.
Actually, Gareth Stanton was at the Mid-South Regional and did quite well, didn't he?
He did. It's his first meeting back. I don't think he's done any practice or nothing. He's got himself sorted out. And to be fair, he did all right. I think he did make the B final on his first meeting back. So he did really well, to be fair.
Yeah, I think he was unlucky. Well, I think he got a 9 and an 8, I think, or something. So like 17 points to be third in the B, pretty unlucky.
Yeah, if it had been dry, I think Gareth would probably be more prepared, because I think he didn't come there thinking it was to be wet. So I think Gareth would have smashed it in the A if it wasn't for the weather.
Okay, so the next bit I quickly jotted down as you spoke first is you went wet car, dry car. You said, oh, I don't know, wet car, dry car. Now, you drive an S-Works, don't you?
I do indeed.
So do they have a specific, like I want to say, a team association version would be, you have a carpet and a dirt car. Do S-Works have those things, or are you just working on one car and making one wetter than the other one?
We had a new release car early part of the year. It was the S12D, so like you'd have with an associated. You have a ball diff, taller shock tower, longer shocks, shorter chassis, gearbox, laid-back sort of thing. And I never actually really used it until this weekend. I think I ran it testing in once, and it was like, that's great. And I thought, I haven't done any preparation on this car. I sparked it down, and I kind of nailed the setup without even doing anything to it. And I just fluked it. So, yeah, my car was all set up for the dry weather. My standard sort of carpet car with what I usually use. And that was all sort of set up quite nicely from the week before we were at the Robin Hood Euros warm-up. So, but then I come there, and this car was sat there, and I thought, oh, I've got to use it. I've got no choice in the matter. And it worked pretty much off the mark straight away. And using the silver mezzos, they were decent, to be fair. Struggled a little bit to try and keep the water out of the tyres, but I need to learn a lesson about cutting holes. But yeah, they were it was a good setup for the car to start with.
Okay, right now, forget what a podcast. You said water in your. You talk about water getting into your tyres.
Yeah. So you know, I've normally in the past kind of like not been had to get the issue with to going through the holes in the. And wet the tyres, to be honest, ever, because I'm not a fan of racing the wet.
Right.
So water was getting the wheel and then into the tyre and then ballooning because of the water much more. And then I saw these little bubbles on the silver mezzos. I thought, damage. Well, I've not got holes in the outside of the tyre to let wore out from foam. So my fault, my bad. But I managed to ping out some spare tyres and work through them.
Oh, right, okay, so there's actually a hole in your tyre. I was thinking, like, you're one of these people who, like, puts a bit of sellotape over the hole in their wheel.
No. I do any wheel like I normally do, but to remove the water, if you cut holes in the actual tyre, it kind of releases the water, and that's the first time I've done it. And it worked, to be fair, but, I think once I got water in my inserts, it didn't really dissipate as quickly as I wanted it to, so... It's a learning using mezzos in the wet. So, you know, traditionally, you know, we use ballistic buggies in the wet, but learning to use mezzos was something that I had to do at the weekend.
Okay. Apologies. This is me. Are you saying you noticed there was like water inside your tyre, and then you thought the best way of fixing that would be to cut a hole in your tyre and drain it out?
Yes. When it goes around the track, so it would. Release itself quicker.
Okay, I'm gonna check with the other two.
Yeah.
Pulling my leg?
No. I do it. I do it, and you basically buy a leather punch from wherever you buy leather punches from.
Well, and I just put my leather gear from me. I'm sure they
I just put in for wet tires. I put a hole at the top of the tire and then one in the bottom. So obviously, as it's and then just slightly make the wheel hole slightly bigger as well. So then obviously, as you're driving around, when your tyres are ballooning, the water should come out of the... So it doesn't sit inside the insert.
And that's the bit I didn't learn, Joe. I didn't put a big enough hole in the wheel to release the air to take it through, and that's where I was struggling.
All right, Martin, now come on, Martin. Do you do that as well?
Yep. Yeah, it's an 8-scale trick, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm literally trying to Google things on my phone here. I remember somebody told me that during, like, last season. Remember the Monsoon series?
Yeah.
And I went, no, don't be stupid. But apparently that's a thing, and I'm the only person who doesn't know that now.
Wow, you learned something new then.
Wow.
Thing is, Aidan, that the track was quite sodden, so therefore there's a lot more surface water than I think we would obviously normally race in. But because we couldn't delay, because if we delayed, we would lose finals, so we just kept on pushing through. And no sights. So everybody was dealing with this sort of learning experience of a lot of water on the track and going around. So I think I only saw one glitch at the weekend on the car. So I think everyone's waterproofing was good and everyone seemed to be, didn't have any complaints at all. So but was quite pleased that we got through the day. It paid off in the end.
Okay. The only thing you have got to remember, Aiden.
Yeah.
You're only allowed 2 venting holes in the wheel and a maximum of 6.0 millimeters in diameter.
2 venting holes in the wheel. Okay, right. What we're going to see, because we're going to have to move on from holes in wheels. We can't just, though I'd happily spend the next 20 minutes just going, what? Really? Honestly, kids, if you're at the Southport National and you put holes in your wheels to let water out, please come and say hello.
Shall we say hello right now? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, but other than Steve, sensible people. You know, not you two idiots.
Yeah, true.
That's, you know, good people. You know, right, okay. So I think that maybe shows, I think you talked about extra drainage in the new torch, and we have to call it the new torch because I had the kind of impression that he just picked up the old one and put it down. But, you know, I've only heard great things. I think I saw the old one when I used to work in an appointment in Gosport every so often. In fact, I'm down there middle of June. So new torch, it looks like it. And so maybe the extra work you've done on the drainage just stopped it puddling. And I think the puddles what seem to cause the issue with glitches and things in the rain, don't they? It's not normally just a wet track or rain. Did you do any extra waterproofing, Steve, or just a lot of Velcro around your shell?
Nothing. All I did was in my wet car, I have a, I think it's a Sanwar wet, a blue receiver. And that was it. I did nothing. Absolutely nothing. I just made sure that I dried it off between each one, as in tissue, that soaked up the water that seeped through and blew it off. And to be honest, you know what, when you walk home out of a meeting and you get home and you think, do I need to rebuild the car immediately? Because if you don't, you end up getting rusty pins and bearings. Actually, I actually left it till tonight, and I've had a quick look, and actually it's come out quite all right. Actually, there's very little corrosion at all on the car, so I was delighted with that.
Hey, Steve, I've never had that thought. Never. I've never come home from a race meeting and thought, ooh, you know, that might need drying off. I just thought, it'll dry. It's in a conservatory. It'll be nice and warm and fine. And then the next bit you said was you were at the Euros warm up with me and Martin. Did you beat Martin?
Yeah. Yeah, easily.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Final higher both days, I think.
It was indeed final both days. So I was, yeah, I think it was pretty decent result. I think the competition was pretty heavy.
It certainly was at the top end. It certainly was at the top end, mate, yeah.
It was about to be fair. So.
And so are you doing the Euros? Or were you just out for a jolly like me?
No, I am. This is the first time I've done a Euros since 2008. I was in Belgium, Roselair for an on-road IC, and that was the last time I did Euros. So many, many moons ago. So this is something that you can do locally, and I'm really looking forward to it, to be fair.
Okay. That sounds good. Joey, you gone the Euros?
No.
No. So it's just Martin. So Martin, you... all these good people are going the Euros, Martin. You're going to struggle again, aren't you?
Wow. Yeah, I made an E final at the warm-up. It's not horrendous.
Yeah, to be honest, I was quite happy until Steve just told me he's made the D, and now I think he should be doing that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Steve, we talked about US Works. You've told us about the new car that came out. There's not a lot of S-Works in Southport. I don't see them very often. Are there more in Torch? Is there a good group of you there?
Yeah, there's a good, as a good following. There's about 4 or 5 of us at Torch that race regularly with them. And I think it always helps when you're a regular racer at a club and you kind of, you know, role model and promote a car and then deliver on the track. I think people, generally speaking, ask questions. And then Peter from Arts for RC has been really supportive to people that have ultimately wanted to get hands on one. So it's worked well. I've been racing it for this year and 2 years previously, but the 2 years previously, obviously, there was no competition as such. I've had 2 years to get my head around the two cars. And to be fair, I can ask for a better time scale to do it. And it's in so far, I did my best result at Kidderminster forward drive. I didn't race on the Saturday, but I managed to make the D final and I won the D final. So 100 points to the cause, which was quite positive.
Well done. And I'm just going to have to say, I assume we beat both of you two in the national as well then.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Guys, you need to up your game, or we need to get slower guests. That's what we need. We need slower guests.
Well, Steve's consistently been in F1 for 3 years of nationals. 2 years, 3 years?
Maybe longer, to be fair.
Maybe longer, yes.
I'll be fair to you. Shoemaker got me my first F1, so credit goes to Shoemaker.
Yeah.
I don't really have to worry about people on this podcast being faster than me, Aidan, because as long as you're not, then I'm fine.
I mean, yeah, Aiden, if you really want to humiliate me, which is, I'm really good with, ask Steve about the F2s at Tiverton. He loves that story.
Oh, my God. Is it this Steve?
Yeah.
You normally say loads of like swear words before you get to Tiverton. So, Steve, just randomly, let's think about it. Have you had any decent F2 results at Tiverton in the past 20 years?
I have. Actually, very much so. It wasn't too long ago, to be fair, Martin, was it?
2015.
I went there with KF2, I remember rightly, and I went with the battery at the back of the car and the motor in the front, and I thought, I really struggled at the beginning of the meeting in the first two rounds, so I then went to the car with the motor in the front, or the motor at the back and the battery in the front, and transformed my day that did. Got to the final, I think I qualified fourth or fifth or something. For the final, and I think I took the first leg, Martin took the second leg, and it all went to the side. I think Martin, was it something like that?
Yeah, went to the third leg.
And I really enjoyed it, to be fair. It was a venue that I haven't been to before, and it was all down to the last but one corner where I was behind Martin, and Martin, I think, caught the edge of a track marking, got his front nose caught in, and I went past and took the meeting. So that was something that you kind of remember forever, Martin, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Bloody cone. Never mind.
If it was Tiverton back in those days, you probably put the cone there.
Probably, yeah. I probably did. All my own doing.
That just shows you, like, just practicing before these events constantly doesn't always help.
You couldn't practice at Tiverton, so you can't pull that one.
Damn, I'm just going to make a lot of practice things so Southport doesn't get into any trouble. But guys, we've gone too long without talking about Southport. Steve, you talked about making a track that's enjoyable. Any tips? When's the last time you were up at Southport? Any bits you like? Any bits you don't like?
If I can be as bold to say, and if you have to edit out, please do. But I can't stand sand. I think it's the most dreadful thing. So actually, coming to Southport is the most delightful place because it's got no sand.
Ooh, I could put some in if you want, Martin. Should I put some in for him?
I'd like to just make a public service announcement. I think someone has just replaced Steve with somebody else because he's just said Southport is decent. Wow!
No, you didn't say Southport.
Steve, I like you.
To be fair, Joey, we've not raced on the new Southport yet, so we really can't have an opinion.
Yeah, but Craggy kind of put the nail on the head the other day. It's not going to be the same, though, is it? Because it hasn't got the characteristics that we think of when you go to Southport.
All I know is they say the straight's probably half the time longer than Torch. And that must mean I need to put a 4.5-ton motor in. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard you've got to power up a bit.
Okay, so how do you know how long the straight is at Torch?
Oh, about 30 metres, 32 metres, something like that.
Oh, it's 32 metres, 3.2 metres.
Something like that. 32, 35 metres, something like that. I think I've heard 45 metres at yours.
Well, I don't know who's spreading terrible rumours like that. Southport is 55 metres long.
Wow, that's massive.
So, you know, all the time.
Why?
What, mate, what?
Why is it that long?
I don't know. I didn't pick. Remember, it was there when I got there. I haven't made these decisions. That's just how big the fence is. It's ridiculous why it's that long, because our rostrum's not in the centre.
Yeah, this is very true.
That's a massive issue that people have. So, mate, I'm sure your normal 6 or 6.5 for two-wheel drive will be fine. I think James Helliwell was there the other Friday on the last day before we shut the track. And I spoke to him and he's like, oh, I've just put my turbo up a couple of degrees just to see if it makes any difference. And I think it was Andy Woods was sitting there going, no, you need to increase it in steps of 10 and start at 30. So be fine. It'll be fine. You never know. We might do something stupid and run a really short straight at Southport. But I doubt it.
I think I was there in about 2014, I think, whatever it was. And I remember running a short straight, but the track has significantly changed since I was last there. And the videos look really, really good, to be fair, presented in a decent way. And I think the racing looks quite good. It looks quite clean and tidy in terms of driving. There's no unnecessary lumps and bums. I think there's obviously the planned stuff in it, but I don't think there's much. As far as I could tell in the videos, it looked quite good.
Yeah, there's a few more maybe in the middle where we've taken a few bumps away. There might be a few bumps, but it depends what the track guys pick on. They're not going to tell me. They're not going to tell me until Friday, and we actually have to start sticking it together. And of course, it's Southport. We'll have to make sure we go around and pick all the weeds out by hand. We do those bits. We've been looking at Southport. Joe, I'm going to finish now. We've been looking at Southport. We've been there for 30, 40 years. Torch, you did have to move it. One of the questions I wrote down was, what was your thoughts when eventually the person in the old Torch turned around and said, no, you've got to move? How long did you spend shouting and swearing before you then figure out you've got to have a plan? Because Torch seemed to be quite a straightforward move.
I think when I first got wind of the move, I found 2 years ago that they got rid of the remote control car flyers. They had a bit of ground for the flyers and they didn't put horses on it. And I thought, this is going to come our way at some point. But eventually it did. We heard this through Julian, which was with our secretary. I then pleaded and engaged with the three brothers who run the farm and own the farm, that, you know, what we've got, what we've done over the years and how much money we put into the track. But, you know, the reasons of our, you know, being asked to move on was clearly financial, but not for the reasons what they said. So now that they're down there for like with loads and loads of horses, and I think horses earn a lot more money than model car racing does. So I kind of get it, but it was devastating. And of course it took us 4 or 6 months to find a venue, and we kind of broke a bit of luck because we were already working indoors at the venue at Swanmore in the indoor club, and we had quite a good relationship with the school and the business development manager from the school, and we kind of got wind of it. We had a problem, we'd been moved off, and then he offered this piece of land behind the tennis court and the five-a-side football pitch, and yeah. It, first of all, when you looked at it, you thought, wow, is this going to work? Is it going to give us what we need? And we made it work. And the monumental effort was obviously about removing Astro, removing all the fencing, removing the rostrum was probably the biggest challenge, that we had to disassemble it into three sections and then race control and toilets. And you know, the logistical cost of it was about $3,000 or $4,000, which we were in debt to various people throughout who did that to support us. And we moved it, but it took us about 3 or 4 months to get to a working track in the end. So we had about 3 or 4 months off, but it's now a brilliant venue that's hasn't got farmers with shotguns on them walking around as such.
Okay. I don't want to be a Southport joke, but there's probably people walking around Southport with shotguns, but I don't think they're farmers.
You still don't want any fireworks over there, Steve, do you?
I remember that night. Well, I don't remember the noise in the morning and the complaints. Yeah, some names I'd like to mention, but I'm not going to. But there we go.
Love it. Love it. I'm talking, and even, okay, it's probably that is a bit before Martin was the emperor of everything, but it must have been nice to see the support maybe from the BRCA or the 10th section at the time, because you had moved venue, but there was no break for Torch. As far as I'm concerned, we were straight back into Nationals being at Torch. And I think that much has come from the confidence the 10th section has from the team of people who are running it, that everyone seems to have had a good day when they come to Torch. You know, the Northwest don't like Torch. That's only because how far away is. The same reason people in Torch don't like Southport, because it's miles away. We're all basically like Joey, aren't we? We all want all the Nationals to happen within an hour of our house.
I think when I first become chairman of Torch, about 2010 it was. I just had my first child, 2008. Stopped doing my on-road gas car racing and went to off-road where our local Torch Club was. And it was, a 6 to 10 people meet in a week sort of thing. And I thought, do you know what? I can do some of this, because I can't go around and do these big meetings like I used to. But do you know what? Let's see what I can do. My first ambition was to make a track that more people would grow and come to. And we did that over a couple of years with the committee. And we brought the first regional, I suppose, 2011. And then I think 2012-13, we had our first, I think it was end of season's F2s. We obviously did a presentation to the BRCA, what we can offer, what we can provide. And and we've built it ever since. And I thought to myself, we can bring people to Torch. And we did. And we still have done, and it's been going for about, I think this will be our, minus 2 years, about our 10th year. So with no gap, to be fair, landing from one club, one venue to another, and to be fair, the relationship with Paul Wesley, likes of Joe Cockrell, your dad, Joey and stuff, has been really supportive. Now Martin, so it's... we want to continue to do something special, and I don't think we're ever going to be able to provide the likes of James's venue. James smashes,
yeah,
I think, most places, but we haven't got that facility. But there's opportunities to do things with the school, and we're looking at working with the science teachers, the STEM classes, and doing stuff around model cars. So we're going to try and bring this to the younger generation more and more, to bring them in and get them away from their PCs and Xboxes and that, because that's what it's like at the moment. So I wanted to lower the age group of model car racers. And it's been good to see the likes of the Holdsworths and the Halls coming through and filling up the top 10. It's been quite impressive, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. I always like when people say the Holdsworths, just remember that I've held Josh and Luke back for about 18 months, 2 years since I've joined Schumacher. Just think how fast those two would be if I'd have not joined the team. and they didn't have to constantly answer my questions of which hole does this go in? Is my car long or should it be short? And I even get answers from Luke now. So, I must be blessed.
We can arrange some form of dismemberment if you fancy.
I think
Robin is coming this weekend. But we can all have a chat with Robin. And say, look, Aiden is causing Josh not to win A finals.
No, not now, because I think I've just treated him mean for the last 18 months, 2 years. They've looked after me, and they've just grown. Or they just tell me to go away now, and I have to ask someone who's dead slow, like Mark Anthony Jones or something. you know, the kind of guy who goes on the Schumacher practice day and just makes up a lap time just to, like, make him feel good. You know, stood next to Lloyd Story, who was just immense for those 2 days. Clearly my favourite person. And more importantly, the fella that Steve Brown, Steve, you beat this weekend at the Mid-South. And Joey, I know you've done loads of prep. Do you know who else Steve beat and just beat this weekend? One of our favourite races.
In which class?
That's a good question, that. Clearly two-wheel drive. You know, you can't Google it. You're just supposed
was
to
it Lloyd in his ear?
Yeah, but most importantly, Steve, I know you just picked the amazing Ross Nicholson.
I did indeed. I did indeed.
Yeah, clearly one of
Harpoon.
Our...
Harpoon Nicholson. And he knows why.
Yeah, he's a lovely fella. So, Mid-South, Euros coming in the summer. Oh, I was going to say what you're doing this weekend, but we all know we're all coming to Southport.
Indeed.
Have you brought a smart shirt for Saturday? Obviously, Southport's in the middle of a town. You know,
we're staying on the Premier Inn, right on the pier. I think right near the track.
That's a nice Premier Inn, that.
We're looking for a nice ice cream and a walk along speech and that. So, Dave Burton joining me, same hotel.
So I think that'll be really popular. Don't do the other issue I did at the Schumacher practice day and suggest that we all have dinner at Frankie and Benny's, which is on that thing. But then we found out that Frankie and Benny's hasn't been open for 2 years, so that wasn't popular. It's a lovely place, mate. If you stay there before, you know, you can get on the pier, you can have an ice cream. You know, it's 100% sunny Southport. You know, play foot golf behind you, mate. You'll have a great time. Better than these two idiots camping. Guys, come on, have a word. Martin, you're the emperor of everything. Surely you should get free hotels.
Why would I get free hotels?
Well, I just thought you should, rather than camp.
I probably could, but I'll camp and save the BRC some money. There you go.
Oh, that's a really
money
good
that could go better spent elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah. For people like that what? Do more important jobs.
Okay. So, Steve, you'll be up here this weekend. So, what else have you got planned this season? Is it so? Are you going to do all the Mid-South regionals?
Yeah,
anything else?
Yeah, so I think just to talk around where we're at, so we've got two regionals left. We planned them in very early. We wanted to make sure that everyone could have the opportunity to get the dates in their diary straight away. So we've got two left. We've got one at Stotfold, I think the first weekend of June, and then we've got about 3-4 weeks later, we've got Sarin & Hans as our final one. So, and there's obviously Lynn Summer Series at Torch leading up until the National in the first weekend of August. So, and that's going to be a fair bit of prep, but I hope less prep than ever before because we've done a lot of work for the regional. So, we're looking forward to that. So. But I think that the big meet I'm looking forward to the Euros. I really enjoy seeing the best in the world race against each other, and it was quite exciting to see, the Bruno and the Neil and Michael sort of fight. That was really good to watch.
Oh, sorry, mate. I thought you were going to talk about me, Miklos, and Jamie Banks fighting it out in the G final. I did have a bit of chat. We did chat last week, Joey, didn't we, about your dad?
Yeah.
And I was very on my Facebook like a day later. It says John Cockle has commented on your post. So I'm thinking, well, this could go one of either way. But we all seem to be friends, so that's all good.
Jerry Fisher's stock motor, he was so slow.
I did hear he was slow. But what
down the straight? What was it? 25 turn or what?
I I must have, to be honest, the only person who knows, I'm going to have to tell the world now, I've literally ordered new motors today.
I am not surprised.
Yeah, but I do think it was an issue with my speedo settings. I'm going to blame all the Hobbywing factory guys who were there who didn't check whether I'd press save on my phone.
What did John say?
What, boss?
What did John say?
He said, get a faster motor, mate.
Ah.
No. In the post, he just said, thanks for the love. Sorry, that was John's reply. Thanks for the love.
Yeah, but he said that's the motor secret, on the day.
That's secret code for he thinks you're a wanker.
Yeah. We'll find out if on Friday when anyone says hello to me and go, Aiden, why have you got a black eye? Fine. I haven't had a conversation with John. Steve, you've been S-Works for 3 years. Super happy with that. Are you going to continue on? Are we expecting a new four-wheel drive from S-Works? Is that the sort of next platform they've got to bring out?
I think we're definitely due four-wheel drive. I think the car's been around for quite a while. So I've heard rumours, but you hear rumours about Shoemaker bringing stuff out. And hearing rumours of Shoemaker as well. You hear vintage, you hear stuff. So I'm hoping for four-wheel drive. There's a few things on the car that we could do with Justin. Make sure the hobby's moved in terms of the car, but yeah, hopefully soon we'll see one, but I'm not heading imminently. If it does come, it'd be too late for the season, I would have thought.
Yeah, you don't want to be like these Associated boys getting new cars today, do you? And then a national like less than 4 days away. You don't want to be making like impromptu visits to bearded weirdos in Dudley just to get your shell painted. Just so you can get to Southport. Not that I stalk other podcasts on Facebook. But, you know, I think the worst picture I've seen from a RC content provider today on Facebook. Guys, just check what they look like on Facebook before you press paste. That's all I'm going to say. Steve, it's been brilliant. Thanks very much for your... Oh, hang on. Sorry. Joey wanted me to ask this. Why is Torch in the Mid-South?
Oh, dear. Yeah, I think we've had this debate, Joey. And Joey, we will, me and Martin and VRCA guys that kind of resolve this issue going forwards. And we'll try and get a smaller region going forwards. I think it's a lot of travelling for people, some people. But we've got three great national tracks in our region, and that's one of the reasons why I think we've just kind of been a bit busier this year than we've been in the past. So it's I think people are willing to travel, and we've been having about 80 to 100. So I think we're probably the third to second busiest region at the moment, I think, based on what I'm hearing. So really positive.
Yeah, I'm not even funny. You might have had four rounds of regionals before the Northwest has even had one.
There you go. And it worked.
And so is that the reason? Of course, remember, anyone who disagrees with Joey is 99.9% probably correct. So is that the reason why Mid-South is, I'm going to say, stretched as a geographical region? Because if you're just trying to fit the three national tracks in, and the problem is one's at the south coast, one's a bit further north, and but one's a bit further up the A1. Is there any other closer tracks to Torch, though?
I think, I mean, I could talk about this all night, but I think when I remember firstly coming to the first meeting, I remember King Gordon, there was Hertz, there was Stockfold, and I think there was DMS Indoors. And then we come along with our club and the guy who got Reed, and then Soaring Hans come along. And that was kind of DMS dropped out. And then we tried Swindon for one meeting at their club, and Southwest tried that as well. Ada's come across along this year. They wanted to come along a couple of years ago. So we've got various clubs. And I think the truth is, if Swindon's new venue looks quite awesome, to be fair, they may want to be part of the Mid-South. They might want to be part of the Southwest. Who knows? But somewhere along the way, we need to cut it in that it works. But, you know, Stockfold and Hertz have always been in the Mid-South. That's not an argument. The question is whether you call it Midlands and South or you call it the Mid-South. And the truth is, you can't really put Torch, for example, into the southeast or the west because it doesn't really fit. The journey would be impossible. So there has to be some kind of south central region that they can encompass, for example, Ada, Surinance, Swindon, et cetera, possibly in the future. But I don't know, to be honest. It's something that we need to get an agreement with the clubs on what they want to do because it's not my decision to make.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, again, if Joey's moaning about something, it's probably a good thing. You know, I just always just put hashtag OK Boomer whenever I'm responding to anything he's doing. Unless, Joey, you're taking the abuse and returning the abuse of Joey Fisher and stock racing, then I'm fully behind you today, mate. Fully behind you today. Steve, now I've remembered that bombshell of a question near the end. It's been ace. Thanks very much for your time. I look forward to seeing you on Friday. I will use this point if you're getting there, because it's a bit of a distance from Torch, but if you're getting to Southport and you know when you're getting to Southport it's going to be dark, we need to know at Southport. You need to message me, you need to message Michael Kirby, you need to message Andy Hall, you need to message somebody at the Facebook page, just so we can help you park in the dark. It is a park, it's dark at night. So if you are turning up late and you want to set your tent up, please let us know, and then we can sort that out.
Well, that was great speaking to our good friend Stephen Brown, PH Brown. That's important, you know. Took me a bit of time to send them the right message, but thanks very much to Stephen for turning up. And while you're listening to this, I'm probably sat in Southport. Joey, probably you'll be on the way, and Martin, you'll be on the way. What time are you guys due to get to Southport on Friday?
I think I'm leaving here about 8:30. It's about 4 hours. So,
okay.
After lunch, I would think.
Yeah, I think same for us. I'm hoping Dad's going to get here for just before 8:30, and then we'll set off just before 9.
Brilliant.
Okay. Probably lunchtime for us as well.
Brilliant. Okay. So, I think by the time you get there, we will have probably done all our brushing and blowing and making nice things, and we'll be just setting the track out for Friday. Oh, sorry, on Friday for Saturday. That's our plans. Guys, I didn't go racing this weekend. I spent my Sunday on my hands and knees pulling little weeds out of joints between AstroTurf. And painting, painted white things white again. They're the only jobs I can do. I always want to make sure that people know that sounds like I do a lot of stuff, but it's not. I just have to do the very easy jobs. No one's mentioned the fact that we actually had a bit of damage to the clubhouse over the last few weeks, where the kids have smashed some tiles in the roof. And on Saturday, there were 3 or 4 members there who've literally just like retiled half the roof. So there's loads of people involved, but you just guys just hear me talk about pulling weeds out and paint white things.
Seems to be a bit of a theme at the moment. Clubs getting vandalism. Poor Glasgow have had an issue, haven't they?
Yeah, they had some stuff stolen from one of their storages, like their PA and audio stuff gone.
Yeah, which is not great. But I see some. I think Durham and some other clubs have chipped in and set a GoFundMe thing up and helped them out. We got broken into at Mendip the weekend, but they didn't get anything. But you know the big shipping container there, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but someone cut a square hole in that, but like only 3 sides, and didn't take anything and didn't get in there. So we turned up on Sunday to someone had taken a very big saw to the side of the container, cut a 3-sided hole in it, and either got disturbed or fed up or ran out of petrol or whatever and left. And they stole our cables, which is really helpful.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, it's been a weekend of it.
Yeah, it's been a bit weird, that, really. Okay. So, There is a GoFundMe up. I think the guys from Durham were involved in that with Glasgow to help them get some stuff. I think it was mics and amps and things along those lines. Strange bits that get stolen. Say we have a bit of damage, but the members who we don't talk about and committee members that I don't talk about have just got all that done. If the toilet, I'll probably clean the toilets. That's probably the only other job they'll let me do this week. Everything else has been dealt with by real grown-ups. That's the most important thing. So that's that. Obviously, guys, thank you very much for Neil. I don't need any more practice, Craig, for coming on last week. We enjoyed Joey. Really enjoyed it, didn't we, boss? Oh, he's off doing something.
Very much so.
We did. Oh, yeah. Doing something else. Were you doing some prep?
No.
No. That means yes. That's
I'm not doing any prep. I'm not doing my prep until Friday.
Okay. Prep on Friday.
Friday. I listened to the podcast. It was very good.
It was good, wasn't it?
Enjoyed it.
Mm. Yeah. I think anytime Craggy's on is good. Stat fans, we can see, we know people are listening before they've, like, it's just because of the name, because we can see like the, sorry Russ, the 600 people who listen to our podcast on the day that it came out. Those are phenomenal numbers for us on a day one numbers when we got someone like Craggy on. Just amazing. So thanks very much, Neil, for his time, for just being awesome and all the great things that we spoke about. And randomly, that me watching the Euros from 2014 on YouTube the day before he comes up. So we all enjoyed that. I attended the Schumacher practice days at Southport last week, guys. Wednesday and Thursday. We had people down on Wednesday and Thursday. Michael and Tris and Muzz were there, Wednesday evening and Thursday. It was great to get together with the team. It was great to see, obviously, a lot of the northern or northwestern people were there, getting times in, getting some practice in. I found it really useful, great to speak to people. One of the things I mentioned this after the kiddie practice day, that I think kiddie was worse because there was only me and Joss who were terrible. Everyone else was brilliant. Joss won't mind that, but this time there was, if you want to know, I'm not going to talk about the good people who were there. I'm going to talk about the terrible people who were there. There was me, there was Jamie Docking, there was Ollie Dillon, there was Stu White. Oh, James Seabright. I'm not being funny. Simon Kemp from Modern Sport was like another level above us before we got to the aliens. So I don't know. I've not spoken to Moz. I think we might need to sort out some sort of improver day. Do you know what I mean? I think that's the next level when we talk about organised practice before nationals. I think we should be talking to Moz about some sort of, I'm going to say, kid admin sticker that's in the middle. A day of just getting people who aren't the top team drivers there. Maybe they can turn up and just give a lot of help and support, because it was tricky, mate. Me and Ollie Dillon going around in 20.2s, and Lloyd Story on his first lap goes around in 19.8. the quick boys were on near 8, really high 18. So, plenty of work. But it shows we'll have a great meeting at Southport. Two separate tracks, two on four-wheel drive. The food, I've confirmed the food, guys. We've confirmed the toilets. We've got even more speakers coming in. We've had a couple of rain, bit of rain the last few days. I think we'll be fine. I think it'll be great. Bring your sun cream. There's plenty of shops coming to Southport. Slough are there. FF Racing's there. Inside Line are there. There was another one. Modern Sport will be there. So if you need anything, there'll be plenty of places to buy something. And this is the most useless announcement ever, is that if you're local to our area, if you're a member of Southport, we have to be telling our members that they can just turn up and watch. But this is like the least listened to podcast in Southport. So they won't hear. But if you are listening to this, please feel free to turn up on Saturday and Sunday just to watch the racing, help out your club. We've got every... I've said this before, the hardest job for nationals when you're running the club is practice, marshalling practice. But we've got all our people there. But, you know, we can always do with a spare, give someone a break. Because you prima donnas don't like to marshal your own practice, do you, kids?
Hey, I didn't write the rules.
I know. Honestly, when I spoke to Paul, I understand the reasons why. It's just so you can get two rounds in. It's just quicker.
Yeah, it's just quicker, yeah.
It's quicker, and it's not the worst thing. No. But we'll be fine. We'll get that done. Before I go on my rant about I'm not going to race a toy car for like another 3 weeks, you know, what a month I had. Oople beat all my mates. Euros warm-up beat all my mates. Then not go racing for 4 weeks. I don't know why I'm going to talk about the next few weeks. Guys, you're at Southport. I know Joey's not prepped. He said he's going to do that Friday. I can't see that happening. Martin, are you all prepped and ready?
I'm sat doing it as we speak.
Oh, well done.
Yes.
Have you bothered prepping your wet car?
Yeah, my wet car's all ready to go.
Okay.
It's going to be dry on Saturday. I think we're going to get, might get wet Sunday, looking at the Met office. But then again, I raced at Mendip on Sunday. It was meant to be sunny all day, and it rained all day. So there you go.
Yeah, let's not worry about it until the day.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'll be fine. As long as it's warm, it's great. I'll be picking up Will White on Friday night for excellent Raceway 1 coverage.
Yep. He's going to try and get some more like driver interviews at this one and talk to a bit more people and up his game a little bit more. Not that it needed it. His figures were huge for Kidderminster for people watching and reading articles. So he'll just make it better.
And I think we'll be putting Will White. Will doesn't know this yet. That'll be fun. He's going in the big blue tent with us lot.
Okay.
So probably.
Oh dear God.
Oh dear God. And not many of us are racing. We're all like helping out during the day. So if you're at Southport behind the rostrum on that field, if there's a big blue tent somewhere near there, and I'm talking of like a pretty big blue marquee, that's probably where William White is. Please knock on there or say hello. And I'll make sure he does all that. It'd be great to see all these guys turn up for Southport.
I thought the Big Blue Tent was some rubbish podcast that went on years ago.
Yeah, but our tents have always been blue. I'm not being funny. Okay. It was the greatest RC podcast ever.
Yeah, right.
It was. Honestly, mate. Come on. Don't let me go down that alley. I'm not being funny. The episode we did after I'd been in the Hoodie Arena, we had Michael and Triss on, followed by Craggy. I'm not being funny. That's RC Gold. The problem is, the other fella went a bit crazy. And now you can't listen to them anymore because it's deleted them all off the internet. But I know they're race. That's the most important thing. Guys, I'm just going through my bits. I've got have we all seen the pictures of the new Dunfermline track?
Yep.
No. Wow. It makes Southport look scruffy. It looks brand new. I think they used to call it Nora. Well, that's worth something else. There's some amazing. If you go to Dunfermline District Radio Car Club on Facebook, you will see videos that they have put up. It looks like an amazing venue. I think I went and then put it in my phone to see how far away it was. Miles. It's like past Edinburgh, guys. It's miles away. But that looked amazing. Guys, did any of you hear any feedback regarding the 8th Nitro Nationals?
I think a lot of people like the track.
Yeah, it seemed to be like all the people on my Facebook liked the track, and they seemed to mention that other people didn't. I haven't seen anyone who didn't like that. It looked dusty, it looked rutted. You know, I don't know why I'm not allowed to say Joe Bornhorst character, but I'm going to say it anyway. It looked like a great event. Elliot won. again, I think. Did he? I think he took the first round, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
And then it was Johnny and Craggy.
Yeah.
I did notice when Bloomers qualified third, I did send him a little message saying, if you win this, you've got to come on. I'm sure he's not blaming me for that. I'm sure
he deliberately did that.
Yeah, probably did. He probably did throw it all. And then the only other bit I saw, which was Bloomers related, is there's someone put a lovely picture of Bloomers up, and a guy called Luke Sanders. Like, Bloomers is like a child, and then there's this other racer next to him with Luke Sanders, and he's got loads of trophies.
Yeah.
I don't think that's an amazing photo. I love it when people post pictures from the good old days. So if you see any more of those, get them posted. Guys, that's probably it. We're going to talk more about Southport tomorrow. Well, next week. Let's do that then. Is there anything else we need to speak about before Martin thanks his sponsors?
Not that I can think of.
No. Well,
thank my sponsors. Yep. Okay. I'd like to thank Schumacher Racing, John RC Octane, Brian at Preddy at Scoos for RC, Richard Thorpe at RDT, and myself.
And yourself.
I'd like to thank myself. Yes.
Wow. I think he's getting a bit big headed, Joe.
No, not at all. I'd just like to thank myself for being able to turn up and race and put up with all the fun stuff I have to put up with.
Yeah. Yeah. I promise to be
mostly not at nationals. Yeah, you better be.
I'm going to be on so much my best behavior. It's going to be amazing.
Hey, if it can go anything like Kiddy, I'll be chuffed.
Yeah, we'll try our best, mate.
You'll be fine.
Guys, it's brilliant. Thanks very much for speaking to Steve this week. Thank you very much for speaking to Craggy last week. Please like and share this podcast. Please like and share all the podcasts. Please like pictures if you see of Southport. If you're at Southport watching or racing, please come and find me, say hello, find the Emperor of Everything. We'll go and throw stones at Joey. I'll try and help him do his four-wheel drive prep on Friday. All of these things we can do to upset Joey. Guys.
Whoa. Hang on a second. Come anywhere near my four-wheel drive. It's the only opportunity I have of smashing Martin this year. Not having you interfering.
Okay. So if you want to help Joey beat Martin, please go and help Joey sort out his four-wheel drive. You only need to change a few arms on it. That's all you're doing, isn't it?
I need to do some soldering as well.
Okay, I definitely can't help you with that, mate. Can't help you with any soldering.
I wouldn't want you to do that. I wouldn't even want you to take the shocks off.
Oh, no, probably not. No. I had to borrow a lot of Kalan's threadlock last week. A lot of my screws were wobbling loose. But they're lovely fellas, and I didn't give it back to them. I'm sure they've got loads. Guys, it's been brilliant. Thanks very much for you two. Thanks very much for the other people we've already thanked. And we will either see you this weekend at Southport, or we'll catch you next week. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.